Children of the New World introduces readers to a near future world of social media implants, memory manufacturers, dangerously immersive virtual reality games, and frighteningly intuitive robots. Many of these characters live in a utopian future of instant connection and technological gratification that belies an unbridgeable human distance, while others inhabit a post-collapse landscape made primitive by disaster, which they must work to rebuild as we once did millennia ago. Alexander Weinstein is a new voice in speculative fiction for all of us who are fascinated by and terrified of what we might find on the horizon. He's director of the Martha's Vineyard Institute of Creative Writing and is an assistant professor of creative writing at Siena Heights University. His new book, Children of the New World, Stories, it is published by Picador, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Alexander Weinstein to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Great pleasure to have you on the program. How did these stories come to be? Was it always your intention to collect them?
It wasn't. I started, really, I wasn't writing speculative fiction. Now, the collection took 10 years to write. So 10 years ago, suddenly my computer crashed, and it took a lot of my creative work with it. So I was very emotionally distraught about this. And around the same time, my students were all saying how much they loved their smartphones, right? The iPhones were starting to come out. And they were just saying, you know, if I lose anything, please don't let me lose my iPhone. And so I realized we had these emotional connections with our technology and that this was starting to happen all around society. And that's where Saying Goodbye to Yang came out of, which was the first piece in the collection, first story in the collection. And from there, that really opened up the floodgates to start seeing that there was all this technological satire available, right? Because technology is moving so quickly. And then I found that I was writing, probably when I got halfway through the collection, I started realizing, oh, okay, I have a linked collection here of technological short stories.
At what point did you find the link, and what ultimately was the link?
Like I said, I think about halfway through, I just kept writing these stories, and I wasn't planning necessarily on writing a collection of the technological future. But then technology just kept getting stranger and stranger, right? There was suddenly Google Glass is coming out, and my friends, once they started reading my stories, were emailing me about skin grafts to put technology on your wearable technology and contact lenses. And so then I started diving further and further into this strange speculative world. And that's when I started seeing the links. So there are different characters that will reappear in some of the stories. It's a very subtle connection between them, but definitely all of the stories take place somewhere in the near future, right? 20 years from now, 30 years from now. And so then I started linking them just very subtly with settings and natural disasters happening that appear in different stories. And the technology of one story helps to form the basis of another story.
There are so many fascinating themes in the stories presented in this collection. One of them that I want to touch on, there's a few, is this sense of alienation that is brought about by technology's ability to connect us, but disconnect us in the same way.
Yeah, that's a main thing I think about a lot, right? I think we all do, and we haven't really discussed it publicly yet, how disconnected in many ways we are with this super connected technology, so that it becomes that we have friends that we never actually see anymore. We see them on Facebook. We know that they have had children or got married or that they're having a nice lunch somewhere, but we don't really see them ever, you know, for 5 years, 6 years. And similarly, many of us aren't talking on the phone anymore. And so that we're texting one another. My students, this is completely the case for them because they say they're afraid of having face-to-face conversations with people, which blows my mind, right? We got into a discussion about dating in the class, and they said, well, I would never call somebody to ask them out on a date. And I said, why not? Why wouldn't you do that? They said, well, it's too scary. You actually have to hear their voice then, and they can hear your voice. And so they much rather text, which I think is the case for many people nowadays. And so there is this alienation that happens, as well as all these emotions that it stirs up, right? I like to talk about, you know, what is the emotion of an empty inbox, for example, or an unliked post, or a dating profile that never gets any hits, right? There's these new emotions of isolation and loneliness, which I think are exacerbated by technology that we haven't fully grasped yet. We're starting to, I think, at least certainly I am. And you look around, I think Pokemon Go was a perfect example of isolation where everybody's looking down on their phones in all these cities and parks and wandering around sort of aimlessly, really. And that disturbs me for sure. I wonder what's happening with our community right now and with our human interactions.
The interesting things about your story is while there are certainly dark times and dark thoughts that come with many of the emotions that you just mentioned, there's also a great deal of compassion and humor here as well.
That's really vital for me that it's there, because I think that we need that, and we long for it, and that in general, while we're doing all of these different things on our cell phones, right, while we're checking our cell phones 50 times a day, we're also taking care of our children and being good parents, good lovers, good partners, good friends, right? This is very important to us. And so I don't think that humanity is going to be wiped out in this way, even though they're dystopian stories. I really believe and have a lot of faith in the goodness of humanity, that we want to build community. We want to have social interactions. Again, I just think we got a little distracted for a while, almost like, again, the title is Children of the New World, but as children, right, we sort of got attracted to these shiny objects and these cool online worlds. And that isn't over yet, of course. We have virtual reality coming, and people are really excited about this. But I do think there's another part of us that is trying to get back to just the daily interactions with friends, just this sort of quieter, more contemplative community, which is essential to us as humans, and to learn what it means to love well and to have compassion for one another and to laugh, right? Again, as you say, a lot of the stories are humorous, and that is to try to create a kind of hope in there, because I am very hopeful about humanity.
What do you believe there is that makes these devices and makes this technology such a distraction, in the sense that you can be sitting across from someone at a table and have their full undivided attention, but your attention can be diverted by a vibration or a sound emanating from your device?
Yeah, right. I mean, and we've seen that. That's, for me, that's one of the most frustrating things, when you're going out to dinner with somebody and they're on their cell phone, or they've got their cell phone and it keeps buzzing and they're checking it and updating stuff. I recently took my students out to a reading, a poetry reading, and there was some time beforehand. So I figured, well, we'll talk, you know, and we'll talk about poetry. They were all on their phones, right, and just sort of half paying attention. And your question is, what is it that draws us to this, right? Why are we doing this? There's definitely some sort of dopamine factor going on, right? This has been, science has kind of proven this, that we get a rush from getting that little ding and seeing, oh, somebody likes me somewhere, somebody liked my post, or somebody's reaching out, which is a really human natural tendency of wanting that connection. And so conversely, while we were talking about this a moment ago, while we are looking for that connection, we're now doing that in the technology. And so there's a way that we're being self-defeating, right? We're looking for that connection that we really want through the technology, which it can give it to us, but only in small doses, only in these small hits that register with vibrations and dings versus that person across the table. And I think really what it is a kind of addiction. I think nowadays, I was saying this last night at my reading, that I think it's harder to give up checking your cell phone than it is to give up smoking, for example. We really have started to cultivate addictions with our technology.
And that comes through in the book, as we talk about this being speculative fiction, and you look at this as sort of what the result of that further addiction is.
Right, yeah.
So with that said, in the speculation, as we mentioned, there is darkness, but there is also compassion and humor. Are you optimistic?
It depends, right? I mean, right now Trump is running for president, and that makes me very pessimistic about our future. Or, you know, you have that, or you have... In some ways, the Dakota Pipeline protests right now are both pessimistic and optimistic for me. I've been watching that and seeing all of the tribes reuniting and people protesting for the earth, which is very heartening for me, and I'm really happy to see that. But of course, you've also got the companies tearing up their burial ground, and you've got the energy companies coming in, and you don't really have necessarily the president or anybody making big moves yet to stop this. So there's that pessimism against. So there's this, I often say if I wasn't such an optimist, I wouldn't be so cynical, right? Because I want to see a world where humanity will come together and will really build community and work together to fight injustices in the world. And it should be mentioned that, thank goodness for technology, right? We wouldn't know about the Dakota Pipeline issue if it wasn't for the viewer-sponsored news that is coming through there. Similarly, with the shooting of black people by cops all across the country, there's so much that technology tells us and informs us about that. And that's hopeful that we are protesting. It's not very heartening to see that these things are still happening, right? I always get disappointed that humanity hasn't pulled itself together a little better at this point in history. But I do think we're heading there. I think that in general, we're trying to become better human beings to one another. That's my hope.
The name of the book is Children of the New World Stories. It is published by Picador. Alexander Weinstein, I thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
Thanks so much for having me. It was great to be here.
Thank you very much. Again, the name of the book, Children of the New World Stories, published by Picador. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.